Good morning. Welcome to Little Swatara on this joyous and beautiful morning. Looks like we might get a little more rain, but that's okay. Also want to welcome all our listeners from WLBR. They'll be joining us later on today. You can also listen. Any announcements that need to be made? I know I have one on behalf of the youth. We're going to be doing our last final fundraiser on June the 4th at the Twin Kiss in Myerstown. Come on out, support the youth. You guys have done such a fabulous job. We are so grateful for the response from the congregation. It's just been overwhelming the way this church supports our youth. Any other announcements? Marlene just reminded me that there is a box out in the narthex for cards for Rita France. Today is her 96th birthday. We're going to leave that out there for another week, so please make sure and send her a greeting for this momentous birthday. Anything else? All right, then let us stand and worship.
Good morning. It's at this time we'd like to share any joys or concerns. I'd like to just give a little report here on Mason Hartraft. I know Sarah and Daniel last week went up to visit Mason, and he had eye surgery the prior week. So if you keep Mason in your prayers, he's got a long road ahead. He did have a pretty significant injury, but he's on the mend. And I ask you also to keep Daniel in your prayers. Tuesday morning, we get admitted to Hershey for his VEEG study. So hopefully this will be a quick one and the doctors get what they want. So every time I've come up here and asked for prayers for Daniel, I've always asked for prayers for no more seizures and they stop. But now I ask you to pray for seizures. I know that sounds ridiculous, but at this point we need seizures next week so the doctors can see what we're seeing at home and we can get all this squared away. I'd also like you to keep Richard France in your prayers. I know Tuesday he had his heart surgery, and from what I hear, he's doing pretty well, correct? I believe everything went as planned and everything is going well. And also keep Pastor Matt's wife, Denise, in your prayers. She had a flare last week, and I believe Wednesday they went up to have infusions started. So they started out their holiday weekend vacation with a trip to the hospital and some time spent with infusions, but from what I understand, she's doing pretty well, so keep her in your prayers. And also, keep in your prayers the Fake family. They lost their daughter, Julie, suddenly. In the bulletin, it actually says Janice, but Janice was just the woman that called to notify us, but it indeed was their daughter, Julie, so keep them in your prayers. There'll be a mic coming around. Does anyone else have any joys or concerns to share?
I don't have a name other than her sister. I work with a young woman named Jess Nova, and her sister was killed in a motor vehicle accident on 81 last Sunday morning, right about this time frame. She was 27 and has a 5-year-old son, and it's been pretty devastating for my coworker, and she and her whole family need our prayers.
No luck? The last name?
Jess Nova was my coworker.
Oh,
I don't have a name
her
on
daughter,
the sister.
Or it was her sister?
No, it was her sister.
Okay.
I have a joy to share this morning. I'm not the official spokesperson for Little Sitar Preschool, but I see somebody that is over here. I just wanted to share that this last week was the conclusion of our year, 20-some years of Little Sitar Preschool in operation. And on our last Tuesday class, one of our little friends leaned over to me during circle time, and he put his hands on his heart, and he said, "Miss Sarah, I think I can already feel Jesus walking around in my heart." And that was such a precious way to end the year. And I just think it's special how many people contribute to preschool in so many different ways, whether it's vacuuming the classroom or changing the light bulbs or offering financial support or prayers. And I know over the years, so many people have been a part of it in different ways, whether teaching or volunteering. And just wanted to let you know that through you, Jesus is walking around in little people's hearts. And I can't think of any greater joy this morning than to share that with you. So thank you.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the blessing these teachers and these students have been to this church, and we thank you for their guidance and guiding these young kids here and speaking your word and learning your word and accepting Jesus into their heart, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that we know you are the all-healing one, and we ask you to keep your healing hand on Mason as he goes through these next few weeks of uncertainty. And we thank you for the doctors that have been able to correct Mr. France's heart. And we just ask that you continue your healing in him. And we ask you also that you keep your hand on Denise. We know whatever your will is, it will be done, but we just ask that you continue to heal her, and we ask that you also be with the Fake family, Lord, and calm them, reassure them that you're with them in the loss of their daughter, Julie, Lord. And we just ask all these things, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Hi. So I brought something with me today. What is this?
Newspaper.
Yeah, newspaper. You got it. Has anyone ever picked up one of these with your parents, or do you get them delivered to your house at all? Yeah? Some of us do, some of us don't, but newspapers tell us what?
The news.
The news, right. All sorts of news. We can learn about what's going on in the world, in America, or even just locally. We can find out what the weather is. We can find out if there's something, someplace we want to eat. Lots of different things. Yes?
Eat.
Yeah, do you think of something else that could be in the newspaper? There's coupons. Everything. There's lots of different news going on in the world. Lots of people use this every day to figure out what's going on in the world. Did you know that newspapers have been around for a really long time?
Uh-uh.
No? Well, there was a time when you could walk on the streets of a city and you could hear the voice of a newspaper boy, maybe that some of the ages of just you, some of you guys up here, calling out, "Extra, extra, read all about it." He called out to get the attention of people who were passing by so that they would know, so that they would come to him to buy a newspaper. That was the way that news was spread those days. How do people get their news today?
Sometimes from a TV.
Sometimes from a TV, good. How else could people get their news? So we have the newspaper, television. Okay, I'm not quite sure what that is. We could get it, how about from the internet? What do you think? Lots of people get their news on the internet, on the web. Yes.
From people telling people.
Very good. So just by simply people telling other people about news. Very good answer. Yeah, people get their news in many different ways. Sometimes people might just use a newspaper. Maybe that's their main source of news. But we might hear it on the radio, on the television, the internet, or just by word of mouth. No matter how we get our news, it is important for us to know what's going on in the world around us. So this newspaper reminds me of some very, very important news we need to share, and that's the good news of Jesus. Did you know that Jesus himself was in the news business? Did you know that?
No.
The Bible says that Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Listen to what he said. He said, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So Jesus wanted everyone to know the good news that of God's love for them. So the story of Jesus is over 2,000 years old, but you know, it's still news very new news today. You know why? Because Jesus keeps changing people's lives. Jesus is pretty amazing. He wants us to keep telling his good news all over. So how do you think we can tell people the good news of God's love? How do you think people can get that good news? That God loves them and Jesus loves them. How can we tell other people about that? Any ideas? So some people might get news about God from newspapers or radio or television, or they come to church to hear about the news of God, right? The Bible can help us with that. But also, it's simply, what we can simply do is just to tell people about God's love. We can share that news with them. Okay, so that's the best way, that you could simply go up to someone and say, believe the good news, God loves you. Just tell others that God loves you and loves them. So before you leave me today, I would like you to take one of these with you. They're cards, and I'd like you to give it to someone to help share the good news of God's love. So it says on the front, know what? And then inside it has a picture of Jesus and says, Jesus loves you. On the back it says, that's good news. So I'd like you to take one of these today and share it with someone else. You can decorate it and color it and give it to someone to share the good news of God's love. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, may we follow your example and share the good news of God's love with everyone we meet. Amen. You can take one of these to spread the good news. Remember to give it to a friend or a family member to help share God's love.
As we come to our time of offering, I just want to thank everybody for the support they've given to the youth. You don't understand how those little gifts that you give can do such great and amazing work, like Sarah with the preschoolers. A little tiny bit, and now there are little people with Jesus walking around in their heart. This July, we're headed to National Youth Conference, and hopefully there are going to be some bigger people with a lot of Jesus walking and dancing and singing in their hearts. And it's your gifts that God takes and he multiplies and he makes it into something huge and wonderful. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for these little tiny gifts and the way that you are able to magnify them and multiply them into things that are way beyond our comprehension. We thank you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 24. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have his letter read to all brothers.
Good morning. So you'll have to give me, bear with me here. If you've ever been on a roller coaster at Knoebels or if you've ever been on the whip, once you get in my mind, it's like a roller coaster. We're going to go here and here and it's going to fling you back and forth. We're going to come back to one common area, but I'm going to take you all over the place. I really want to talk about just these verses in chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica and the encouragement, the words he spoke to them, he was pretty much run out of Thessalonica and returned to Corinth. And after being there for some time, he was concerned that the Thessalonians were being influenced by false teachings and not really following the gospel as he presented it to them before, prior to him being in Corinth. So he sent Timothy back to kind of get an idea of where they were at, and he returns with this glowing report. So in response to this glowing report, he sends this letter to the Thessalonians, this letter of encouragement, of continued faith in them and in their faith in Jesus. So we're going to stick within these 12 verses here, and I'll touch a little bit on most of them and how I try or will continue to try to apply each one of these sentences of encouragement from Paul, and how I hope you guys can also do the same. So looking out here, and as many as there are, there weren't quite as many this morning, but I knew specifically who to point to. I grew up in a hardcore Pennsylvania Dutch family. My grandmother was so Dutch, I don't think she knew the letter V existed. Everything was wine. You know, don't you go get the grapes off the wine, and you know, and they made wine, but everything was wine with a W. Let's see, here I go. And what's comical here is sometimes when I spend some time, I use John High this morning as an example, or Paul Swigert. If I spend some time with them and I come home, Sarah always says to me, "I know where you were, because now you're talking more Dutchy." And my grandmother always used the phrase, "Well, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much." But along with that, "if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much," comes along, and I'm sure Sarah will agree, we tend to be stubborn, obstinate. I believe I am. And the reason I'm bringing this up is my grandparents were also Christian. And I spent quite a bit of time with them when my family moved, my parents moved across the country. My brother was in the military. I had no family here left except for my grandparents. So I stayed with them for a little bit of time. And I remember very vividly, you know, think about when you come home from church or from work and you're tired and you're making dinner and you want to just sit down and eat. And there, you know, you just sit down and there's a knock on the door, or the phone rings, but more specifically, there's a knock on the door. I'll tie this in with my grandfather. He would always answer the door, and he'd come back 30 seconds later and mumbling something, and my grandmother would ask him, "Well, who was it?" And he'd say, "Don't worry about it. It was just a Jehovah's Witness. I threw him off the porch." And I thought, well, I told him where we went to church, and I said, "You get out of here." And it's like, well, you're telling him you're a Christian. You're telling him what church you go to, and then you throw them off the porch. It seems a little bit wrong. We've had it many times where, and I'm just using Jehovah's Witnesses because they're usually the only ones that come to spread their word when they come to your front door. And Sarah and I will get these visitors. And not just from not just Jehovah's Witnesses, from other churches. And they'll drop off flyers, pamphlets. They'll want to, you know, have us come to their church. And we're never, ever rude to these people. If anything, you want to invite them in. One of the things we'll say is, "Well, I got a book for you to read." Or, "No, we make sure we specifically say we are members of this congregation, and this is who we follow, and this is why." But never throw them off our porch. Or think of a telemarketer calls you. You know, the best thing you can do if you're angry with them is just don't say anything. Just hang up on them. But if you know, they're just doing their job. So I use this as an example because that is not how Christ wants us to react. He doesn't want us to get angry. We're human. We get frustrated. We react. I'm probably the guiltiest one out of anybody in this this church at the moment. I react. I speak without thinking. Usually, I can see my words hanging out here thinking, well, that probably wasn't a good idea because it's going to come back on me. And I do it a lot. And I really work hard to not react. So Jesus doesn't want us to speak negatively. How can you spread the good news when you're just spewing negativity? That's not how this works. And that's certainly not what Paul meant when he wrote his letter, praising them and encouraging them. So this is why the scripture this morning from Thessalonians is so important. It speaks of compassion, tolerance, embracing change, moving forward in our journey as a church and as people. How many times have you encountered a situation that's foreign or something you're unfamiliar with and you've reacted unfavorably? I do it constantly. If I'm uncomfortable with a situation, if I feel I know less than the person speaking to me about the topic, I get frustrated a lot of times. I should know these things. But that's, again, not how Jesus wants us to react. A lot of times the easiest thing to do is complain. And I do it. And we're human. We all do it. But it makes you miserable in the moment. It doesn't resolve anything. What's going to be is going to be because it's his will, not ours. Maybe we've been asked to do something. Prime example, imagine if Jesus was standing next to you right now or yesterday, whenever, and someone asked you something. Would you think about your words before you responded, especially if you were upset or frustrated? You absolutely would. But the reality of the situation is he is standing there because he knows your heart, he knows what you're saying. So you must continue to be positive, spreading the good news, not spreading negativity. And again, I use myself as an example. I know if Pastor Matt has asked me to do something and I've gotten crazy things to do. This morning, for example, I was asked if I wouldn't mind doing pulpit fill, but I also played. So I had to juggle playing music, delivering a message, and playing music, and doing joys. It's a lot to think about. And my first reaction was, how am I going to do this? Instead of looking at it in a positive way and saying, I have an opportunity to share with you or spread good news with you, I said, oh, I don't know. You know, I guess. After I walked out of the room, I had thought about what I said. Well, this is great. I'm looking at this as an opportunity. And if you look at chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. That's how I view Pastor Matt. Respect those who work hard among you. I should have reacted differently, but again, I reacted. Every verse in this chapter has everything to do with spreading the good news. We here as a church, as a congregation, we've gone through tons and tons of changes. And just in the 12 years that I've been coming here, and probably in the last 5 or 6, and really in the last 2.5, 3, I see hundreds of pounds of speakers hanging from the ceiling. I see air conditioners on the walls. I see sound system installations. I see different style of music being played. I see changes in worship order. There's lots of ways we're evolving. Paul tells us to do that. He asks us to evolve in our faith. I know that, just as an example, worshiping here, listening to music, guitar, drums, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Last year, I did a guitar fill-in job. I had a request to do a fill-in job down in Lancaster at a 6,000-member church. And I've been playing music for 30 years, 20-plus, live in public. And I had never played before that many people in my life, as I did at this church. And the music aspect of it was amazing. I loved it. But when it came time during that service there that they worshiped, it just wasn't my cup of tea. How can you connect? How can you worship when there's all these blasting lights and people jumping up and down? It just wasn't for me, but that's just the style of worship. That's how they choose to worship. Doesn't mean it's wrong, it just means it's different. If you look at verse 14, Paul says, "We urge you, brothers who are idle, to encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." I look at Sunday school classes. In the last year, I've had an opportunity to teach junior high Sunday school and recently fill in for senior high Sunday school. I absolutely love to do this. I value these kids' opinions immensely. They're the future of this church. If we don't continue to encourage them, as Paul is asking us to do, to not allow them to sit idle, and I don't mean sit idle physically, sitting in a pew, idle. I mean physically, I mean spiritually idle. Allowing them to grow, meeting them where they are, we won't continue to evolve and grow. He says, be patient with everyone. I lose my patience constantly. The result is my, reaction. And that's not how this works. That's not what he wants us to do. How can you be spreading good news if you're reacting negatively and not being patient? This morning, I used Pam as an example. Sorry, Pam, I'm going to use you again. a few weeks ago, we were getting prepared for a big wedding here. And, there's all this equipment that sits up here. And I had been given specific instructions on what to do. And I had come that night to take care of those things. And when I got here, everything was already done. And instead of saying, wow, that's awesome, that's just less for me to do, I went, wow, it's gone, and now I've got to set this all back up and won't know where it's all going to be going. And I reacted negatively. I'm 1,000,000% positive that Paul and Bud never said, or Paul and Bud, not Paul, that Pam and Bud never once, one time thought to themselves, hey, let's do something to just make him mad. There was never anything done maliciously. It was all done in love. They were helping. Yet I responded negatively. I could have thought about my words, my reaction, but no, instead, in the moment, tired after work, coming straight here to prepare, and I realized that what I was to do was already done. I should have thought, this is great, they just saved me an hour's worth of time. Instead, I thought, wow, this is bad, I've got to set it back up, and I sure hope they know what they did with everything, when in reality, I've done it 100 times and I know where everything goes. They were showing love to me and this church by assisting us in getting ready for this wedding. How can you be spreading good news if you're spewing negativity? I think about the younger generation that's here, and I often use the phrase meeting them where they are. Paul tells us to allow our faith to evolve. We also need to look at that and look at ourselves and look at this congregation, this church, and say we also need to evolve. A friend of mine that owns a music store, who owned a music store in Burnville, who recently closed, I had a chance to talk to. He was a drummer, and I was trying to recruit him from his church. You got to come here. You got to play with us. You got to try Little Sotara. It's an amazing congregation. Things are changing. Things are happening. And he said, well, it's ironic. The church I went to closed. And I didn't have an opportunity. This was during a work day while he was at work, and I didn't have an opportunity to ask him why. But How can you just allow a church to close? Some of these things may seem, the topic may seem kind of minuscule. Was it not enough money? Was it not enough members? Was it people getting upset with the style of worship? There's all these things that come into play. Unfortunately, I didn't have an opportunity to ask him, and he's since closed the business, and I haven't seen him since December. Our future here is with our younger generations. I'm 43 years old, and it's going fast. They say life's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes. Well, it's going fast. I want to see every Sunday people my daughter's age, people the Blatt's age. I want to see the numbers equal. And I think how Paul was saying, for us to evolve, we have to meet them where they are. And sometimes we have an opportunity to encourage, and yet, and again, myself as an example, I complain. And that doesn't help the situation. That's not what Paul is telling the Thessalonians to do. How many times have we pushed back against something that we so desperately disagreed with, and yet it happened anyway? It's not our will. It's not our choice. Verse 17 says, pray continually. I went from working full-time, as many of you know, at Camp Sotara, with amazing people, with like-minded people, going back into the secular world. And the industry that I work in is not, let's just say some of the people are a little rough around the edges. You have to have thick skin. And one of the young men I work with, I won't tell you who he is, but who you would envision to be a Christian, I question his faith or lack thereof. I'll try to talk to him on a daily basis about it, and I'll say, right here is the book you need, you know. And he'll say, well, here's a YouTube video on the conspiracy of why that's not right. And I continue to push it. I get nowhere. I get frustrated. Change is nothing for me except for it makes me angry. But I'm not going to stop doing it. That's not what Jesus said. Oh, well, when someone says no, that's not what I think. He doesn't say, okay, well, you got to walk away now. You know, I'm trying to meet him where he is. But if I stop and pray about it, like Paul says, pray continually, I feel a lot better during these conversations with him. I don't end up so frustrated. I don't get so angry. I let Jesus' words come through to him. My favorite verse in this is verse 19. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Now, you can look at this a whole bunch of different ways, but Paul's saying, do not put out the Spirit's fire. An example, if I'm playing music here on a Sunday morning, Sarah will sometimes say to me, you have your eyes closed. I don't even realize that I'm doing it. I don't have these words and these lyrics memorized. What I'm doing, I would consider to be spirit-led. I'm not focusing on one individual item in front of me. Every now and again, I'll glance at it. But I can feel it taking me where it wants to go. There are mornings when I know I should have ended that song already, and it's already been 3.5 minutes, and I just let it drag out, and I'll call the mark, and I'll say, put the lyrics, keep going, and I'll keep singing. That's not my choice. I don't decide whether or not I'm going to keep going. That is all spirit-led. That is what Paul's talking about. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Some of us have kids that are a little rambunctious. We believe it at that. Maybe some things they do aren't the best. That's not being led by the Spirit. That's not what I'm talking, and that's not what Paul's talking about here with these, with this. It's there's something growing within us here and evolving. He's saying, do not put that out. Allow it. Allow God to make these changes. What will be, it's his will. And he also says that to us here in verse 24. He says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. The whole point of this message here and focusing so much here just on this particular chapter and these verses is to let you know that it's okay to evolve. It's okay to change. Meet it with positivity. Meet it with encouragement. We're human and we're going to struggle. I do every day. I do every day when I'm here. Things don't always go our way. It's not our choice. He is faithful and he will do it. I try not to push back anymore against his will. When I decided that I wanted to have a bigger role here within this congregation, that wasn't my choice. Everybody kept saying to me, oh, well, it's a call, it's a call. And I said, no, no. It's more like a push in the back. I was very fearful. I was very, I'm not going to say negative, concerned about my ability. Sarah once told me, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. That's all I needed to hear to be able to deliver this to you. I'm not qualified. He's qualifying me with everything that's right here. He wrote this letter as a guideline, as a letter of praise. So instead of pushing back and feeling bad thoughts, negativity, spread the good word about that situation. I'm going to make every attempt to do that. A church that's sitting idle is a church that is not moving forward. Let's not sit idle. Let's not share unfavorable news. Let's share and spread the good news. Let's not meet wrong with the wrong. He says, do not meet wrong with the wrong. Use times of frustration and unease as teachable moments. That's the best way I can say it. Use those times as teachable moments and show God's love and preach his word. This is what he wants us to do. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for this congregation, their willingness, their openness to allow change. It's not hard all the time. It's not easy all the time. It's hard. But allowing your will to be done, Lord, we know that's what you want. As long as we're evolving, as long as we are following you, we will not be sitting idle. We just ask that you continue to guide us where you want us to go. And we thank you again for every person within this within these walls. And Lord, we just ask all these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
As you go out today, I ask you that you meet the world today, people, with positivity, spreading good news. If you encounter something unfamiliar, don't be afraid. Embrace it, be encouraging, and spread the good news. Go in peace.